Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Because of man's natural religious nature, he will turn the instructions of the Lord into rituals and religiously oriented habits. An example of this is using the Lord's model prayer as a liturgy by a rote repetition of it in the very fashion which he told them only the heathen do. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. This tendency toward religiosity is seen most clearly in the practices which men adopt in carrying out the most simple of instructions of the Lord as to how they are to remember his death. Among those practices is the notion that this table must be presided over or administered by someone who is augustly and properly ordained or set apart for this task by other rituals administered by those who have themselves undergone such proper ritualistic ordination. This is no more or less a form of priestcraft than that which is practiced by the High Church of Rome and has existed in the fleshly religions of men since time began. The Lord ably and deftly put an axe to the root of man's prescribed and sacrosanct methods by which he is to be worshipped when he told the Samaritan woman, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Any aspect of the observance of that memorial supper, which Christ instituted and commanded his disciples to observe, which would in any wise turn a man's eyes towards anything but the remembrance of the death of Christ, is a product of the flesh and not the spirit. In order to properly remember his death, we must first consider the one who died. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He did take upon himself a mortal body of flesh and blood, and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet was perfect in his obedience to his Father, and the holy law of God being without sin. In this sinless and incorruptible state, he did become sin for his elect bride as her substitute, imputing her sin to himself and his righteousness unto her. In order to properly remember his death, we must consider the death which he died. His death was not imagined, incomplete, or somehow anything less than the exact death which all flesh must experience. In those 3 days and nights in which he resided in the tomb, his body was absolutely dead. He was without mortal life of any sort. Yet far more deadly than a simple cessation of bodily functions, he was cut off from the very presence of the Father, in whom was his delight, and did make his soul an offering for sin. In order to properly remember his death, we must consider the reason that he died. There are 3 reasons that come to mind. The first is his purpose, the second is his love, and the third is the awfulness of sin. God does all things according to his purpose, and nothing occurs in heaven or earth which does not exactly fulfill that purpose. God does not have contingency plans which are dependent on what any part of his creation does. Rather, he directs all things to occur according to that ordained purpose. The death of Jesus Christ was according to that purpose. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Jesus Christ did undertake the redemption of his elect bride because he loved her with an everlasting love. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It pleased God, in order to magnify both the glory of his grace and the unwavering justice of his law, to put him to death on the account of sin. God will by no means clear the guilty, nor at all acquit the wicked, and he has decreed that the soul that sinneth shall die. It is quite clear from the Scriptures that even the elect of God were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Therefore, it is because of the sin of his elect that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and endured the shame which was rightly due to each one of them. We remember his death and weep that our sin caused his pain. We remember his death and rejoice because he has by it demonstrated his love for his elect and has removed all condemnation from them. We remember his death with gladness since he has triumphed over death in his resurrection, which is the first fruits of that resurrection which awaits all who sleep in him. The resurrection is the very basis of our hope, and we are encouraged as we consider the temporary nature of this remembrance with bread and wine, for it is only until he comes. Then we shall drink of that new wine, which never yet any man has tasted, with him at that marriage supper. Indeed, he has saved the best wine until last. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.